Okay, I really mean it. We're going to get going. We're going to get started. Welcome, welcome. Week 3 of 3 weeks, right? That's a victory. We're at week 3 of 3 weeks. Okay, you guys are definitely not with me. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Can I get a good morning back? Ah, thank you. Okay, that'll get people here. So I can't believe I can believe it. It's only 3 weeks. It's not like it's been months. But we are at week 3 of our 3-week study, which is very exciting. And it's a fun week. And I'm going to leave a little bit more time this week for discussion at the end, just so we can kind of wrap up together. But that said, I, of course, am going to give out a gift for the first to arrive. And it was Teresa Gaiman again, but she doesn't get to double down. So well done, Teresa, for being first to arrive. But second to arrive was Liz Barman. So Liz Barman, enjoy a little gift. Because I pay attention. what's this? What's that? What's that? What's happening? That's for me? Oh, my goodness. You're so cute. All right, ladies, let me just open us up in a word of prayer. I'm going to give actually just a moment to just be quiet. Let's just be quiet for a moment and settle in to our seats and into our minds and hearts and where they are. So let's just take a moment to pause. Father, as we are coming this morning, I'm just aware of the beauty this morning, of waking up to your sun shining, and just aware that you are always and constantly shining upon us, but we're not always aware of it. So, Lord, I pray that even this morning as we're gathered together, that you would make us aware of your face shining upon us, of your love for us, of your care. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we come to you, even in this study as we're talking about surrender, we come to you out of an understanding of your character and knowing that you are good and generous and gracious and loving God. We thank you for that. And Father, I do pray that as we sit with the truths of your scripture, as we sit with the truth of who you are, Lord, develop in us a longing for you, a deep and abiding longing for you and you alone. Lord, we just ask that you would come. Let your spirit move here, and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Well, good morning, good morning. It's interesting. I know some of you, this is your first week. Some of you, it's your second week. And some of you have been here all 3 weeks. By the way, kudos to you. You get a gold star if you've been here all 3 weeks. You know, it's a drop-in study, so you don't have to be. That's the beauty of it. And so because we have people that haven't been here every week, we're going to do just a quick review. So we've had 3 weeks. The first week we talked about the grip. Second week, last week, the exchange, and this week we're talking about the gain. We'll be talking about the gain. So what is that? But just a reminder that the structure of our time is such that you will be doing the work, right? And so you're going to have time alone. You're going to be, we're going to have time for discussion, all sorts of things. So you're going to be doing the work. So if this is your first week and you thought you could just come and sit and chill, sorry. That's my apology to you. I also just want to mention that we are in this together. Like, the beauty of having these kinds of conversations is that we are reminded that we are not alone. We, as we wrestle to surrender, as we wrestle and grapple with the truths that we're talking about, that we are not doing that alone. In fact, one of the things I've loved in our conversations is how much people are like, this is so hard, and everybody else is like, yeah, we just get it, right? We get the challenge together of what we're discussing. So we're in this together, and just to say I am fully in this with you. I said this every week, but I don't stand up here as one who has figured this out, but as one who is really wrestling with what it means to truly surrender, to truly offer my life in the struggle, have an open hand that we've been talking about. So I come to you that way. So with that, let me ask you, we had our first week. And I'll just share with you a quick summary of what happened that week. Is we were in Isaiah 43 and we were talking about the character of God, because it's impossible to surrender without understanding who we're surrendering to, right? So that was foundational to the whole conversation. We talked about two grips, that we have our own tight grip that we hold on to things, and then we also have his grip. And we need to be reminded that he is gripping us, and in that we belong to him. And we talked about how belonging to him can be both incredibly comforting and it can also be terrifying, because it means that we're not in control. But one of the things we're wanting to do in these 3 weeks is move toward that understanding of the comfort of that. And so that's part of what we've been doing. Okay, so with that, let me ask you guys what stands out from last week. Week two, those of you who were here, we talked about the exchange. Anybody willing to share what jumps out? Cody. Putting aside our own desires for the sake of Christ. Yes. What else?
My life for his.
My life for his. What does that mean, you guys? My life for his. Taking up the cross. We talked about that for sure. And what did the cross represent to the people who would have heard Jesus say, take up your cross?
Suffering and death.
Uh-huh. But that the end of that passage then talks also about what that we gain life by doing this, right? It's one of the things we'll be talking about. What else stands out from last week?
Not a hobby.
This is not just a hobby. This is total and complete allegiance to our Lord. Yes. In every single corner of our hearts. And some of us, certain areas, it's easy to surrender, and it actually doesn't even really feel like surrender. So what we're wanting to do is kind of find those corners where it's really hard to surrender and start offering those places as well. Anything else jump out? Yes, Arabella.
We talked about the humanity of Jesus.
So we talked about the humanity of Jesus and how he suffered and knows what we're going through. Good. Anything else? Yeah, Jenny. I love that. So Jesus gave both the posture and the words, literally on the ground before the Lord, and then also, not my will, but yours be done. Thank you, Jenny. Sherry?
He said, or we talked about, Jesus can't catch us unless we let go.
Jesus cannot catch us unless we actually let go. Anything? Oh, yes, Cindy. Diane.
It's more than just giving up.
Yeah, what is it? If it's more than just giving up, what is it? It's not giving up, it's giving over to. I love that. Yes, not just a white flag. Yes, Cindy.
Did you all hear that, or should I repeat it? Okay.
shoot, now I need you to repeat it, Cindy. By name. I love that. In the exchange, it's to somebody who is summoning us by name, that this is, there's an intimacy to it. It's so good. So last week we talked a lot about Christ's model of surrender. And it was interesting. Somebody's like, but he's Christ. That was actually, I think, in the evening. And we're not. right? And so we need to sit with that. But one of the things we're going to do is we're going to look today at Paul, who was human, right? And his ability to surrender. But we looked at Christ's model of surrender. And we talked about how he actually told the Lord what he was longing for. you guys. He was not afraid to say, this is what I'm asking for. This is what I want, right? And then he acknowledged God's power in the midst of that. He submitted to his father's desires, which we talked about, not what my will, but yours be done. And then he listened for his father to lead, right? We also talked about how surrender, the actual act of surrender, is an act of self-denial. It's an act of denying self, taking up the cross, as Arabella said, and then losing our life, okay? But what we're going to talk about today is the end of that passage, which says losing our life that we might find it. That's the hope that we're going to talk about today, the exciting part of all of this. Before we dive into that, I've had some overarching thoughts that I've shared every week. I want to share those again. And one is that, is the word surrender in the New Testament? No. But the concept, the posture, is throughout the entire New Testament. So let me ask you guys, what's the difference between doctrinal surrender and functional surrender? We've talked about that every week. Anybody willing to remind us what that is? Yeah, no, that's a good way to say it, Cindy, that doctrinal surrender is what we understand biblically, theologically. We get it. We know that God is sovereign. And then functional surrender is actually the action or the giving over to, or what did you say? You used a good word. Now you forgot. I forgot. We're together in that. But all that to say, it's the active part of it, right? That we actually go beyond our head into the actual motion and heart of what we're doing. So that's what we're talking about. We're diving in more here with the functional surrender aspect, trusting that we have grasped the doctrinal aspect of surrender. Okay, we also talked about forced surrender versus actual surrender. And I actually changed the word to willing surrender because somebody had used that word in the evening and I liked it way better. So what is the difference between forced surrender and willing surrender? Diane, now I'm pointing at this. No, Diane, no, I didn't say anything. I'm hearing all sorts of things, but help me. Stacia, pardon? Choice? Good. That's a choice is a perfect, your heart. Yeah, where your the posture of your heart is key to forced surrender versus willing surrender. I shared, you know, we can have all sorts of forced surrender situations that we're put into where we would not choose it. I shared the story of losing my son. I also was thinking of another one. We were forced to move out of our home that we were renting at one point, right? That's a forced surrender. I was super bummed and I would never have chosen it. Those are forced surrenders. But then there's a posture that God is going after in that where he's asking for a different kind of surrender. And that's the willing surrender, the surrender that says, yes to whatever you are up to in the midst of this, God. I say yes to you. I offer, in a sense, I'm offering myself and all that I love and care about in surrender to you outside of the forced surrender. Does that make sense? So when we talk about surrender here, we are definitely not talking about the forced surrender. We are talking about a willing surrender. Our theme verse has been from, all right, these are our postures, just to give you the visual. The first week, we talked about this grip. Second week, we talked about opening our hand to the Lord. And this week, we are talking about, I love this picture because I feel like those hands are being filled with something really beautiful, right? And so we're going to talk about what God does, what he gives in the midst of our surrender. And so this is, it's the center picture in your booklet. This is what we're moving towards. So if you have a visual, this is the visual I want you thinking about. All right, our theme verse is Jeremiah 10:23. Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. Again, we are aware of that. And it is not for them to direct their steps. That is where we recognize you are the one who is in control, and we offer ourselves in the midst of that. Okay, we're going to take some time for alone time, as usual. If you are in need of just shut-eye, that's okay. but I have some questions for you, some personal reflection questions, two of them. On page 26, when you think of God's good gifts to his people, what comes to mind? And secondly, what do you think God wants to currently do in your life through the act of surrender? So I want you to think about those two things. And then we're going to sit with a passage of scripture This time we're going to be in Philippians 3 and verses 7 through 12, but I want to give you some context. The verses prior to verses 7 through 12 are Paul talking about all of the things that he has, basically from the world's viewpoint at that time, he had arrived, so to speak, at everything that they would have thought was like the best. So he says he was circumcised, he was of Israel, he was from the tribe of Benjamin, he was Hebrew of Hebrews, he was a Pharisee, he was a zealot. And so he said he was faultless before the law. So at that time, now to our world would not say that was the best thing ever, right? But at that time, that was like somebody who had gained all the things that the world valued, and they had arrived in a sense, okay? And so Paul's saying, I have all of that. And that's then where we get to our passage today in Philippians 3. I have some scriptural questions for you on page 28, I think. But let's read Philippians 3. And just keep in mind those prior verses where Paul is saying all that he had. Alrighty, let's see. I'm not on the right page. Here we go. Okay, I'm on page 27. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ.
What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him. Attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that from which Christ Jesus took hold of for me.
Whew, good stuff. All right, you guys, I'm going to give you time, probably 15, 17 minutes, 20, somewhere in there. You guys can totally get up and move. It's such a gorgeous day. Like, I honestly, there's a part of me that's like, get up and enjoy the moments outside as you're sitting in this scripture. That's not pressure, because I need some of you to stay in here. Just saying. it's beautiful outside. I will ring the bell. I will try to ring it really loudly. Sorry for those of you who will be near. And let's gather back together when I ring the bell. All right, go and enjoy some time. All right, my friends, let's dive back in. Wasn't that outside? Who was outside? It was lovely. Wasn't it lovely? It was lovely. Birds, squirrels. What'd you say?
Vitamin D.
Yes. Come on now. Yes. All right. I'd love to hear from you guys. What's standing out as you read this passage and sit with this passage? Christ will hold on to us. Yes. Yes. So much in there. What else? He is worth knowing. Well, that's where we're going, Diane. That's where we're going. What else?
Like Paul, you have to.
Doreen.
Press on, and it is a process, and it's a pilgrim journey.
I love that. Like Paul, we have to press on. It's a process, and it's a pilgrim journey. And he actually says at the end, not that I have arrived yet, right? Right? Very much in process, our human Paul. What else? Janet.
Finding life requires a willing
surrender. Finding, and I'm going to add another word in there, finding true life requires a willing surrender. So good. What else? Steph. Yeah, Christ is the ultimate gift. Amen. And what Steph also said is the things that we hold on to are good things oftentimes, our spouse, our kids. And yet we're holding on so tightly thinking that is the greatest gift. And he is the greatest gift. Yeah. So the surrender is a get to. We actually get to surrender to a God who is loving and gracious and all of those things. It's not a have to. And again, that's just a paradigm shift for us, right? Anything else? I don't want to miss anybody with a pressing thought we should all hear. Yes, Arabella. I love that. What she said is Paul's showing humility. And we didn't talk about this a lot. 2 years ago when we talked about being out of control, that was a key thing, is humility is kind of central to this whole conversation. To humble ourselves, to surrender, we kind of have to humble ourselves. And Paul beautifully models that.
I've got to say, Nicole modeled that just from what I learned.
Nicole Hill.
It really tied into this study.
Yeah, she had a lot of humility, a lot of beautiful humility. She definitely modeled that. She is through this, and the celebration of service was gorgeous and beautiful and right. If you don't know, Nicole Hill was somebody that we lost in our community who was 42 years old, a young mom. So, anything else? No, I keep thinking I'm going to put this down, and then I realize, oh, I think I still want it. All that to say, such good stuff, you guys. I'm not going to teach for very long today because I do want to leave more time for discussion. But if you hear one thing from me, just one, from the entire morning, is that when we open our hands, we are given the gift of a loving Savior, and He is better than everything else. The challenge is we have not believed that He is better than everything else. So with that, we talk about, it's kind of the new phrase that I hear thrown around is they're living their best life, right? We talk about that all the time. They're living their best life. I want you to just take a moment for a second and think about if somebody were to say that about you, what would that mean? What would that entail? You're living your best life. What would that mean for you? Just take a moment to think about that. So we all know that the world's view of the good life or the best life is different than the view that Scripture gives. But I want to just point out a couple things that I looked it up on the internet. What is the good life? I just asked the internet to tell me what the good life is, right? Right? And chaos is always, so I'm going to share with you some of the things that were on the internet. Some of these are actually dictionary definitions. I didn't mark in my notes which ones are. Some were different dictionary definitions and some were just people talking about that. Okay, so here we go. Here's the good life, the best life. A life of luxury, pleasure, and material comfort. Self-sufficiency that leads to satisfaction. We just talked about self-denial last week. A life abounding in comfort and indulgence without problems. A happy, carefree life. The good life is relative to whatever you want it to be. Whatever is good for you is the good life. A life of consumption and living every moment to the fullest is the good life. So what's interesting is in our context, as we're talking about surrender, it's easy to go, oh my gosh, whatever. Like, those are crazy, right? But if we're really honest with ourselves, it's not far from how we all live. Even as believers, it's not that far from how we all live. And I took a moment to just ask myself, what do I deem the good life for Christina? And I sat just honestly with myself and asked. And a couple things came to mind for me. The first one is a life free of pain. A life that's comfortable. A life that's secure. And a life that's easy. And as I sat with those, I had this realization that the life I had just described was a life that didn't require me to need Jesus. And I had to sit honestly, like, what is the actual good life, right? And so we know that the biblical view of the good life is very different than what was described on the internet and even what I just described. The good life is life with Jesus. It's life dependent on Jesus. But the interesting thing is we as a people, we as humans are so easily pleased with lesser things. We are so easily pleased with lesser things. But what's interesting is we often reject God's design because we think it's hard or it's the suffering or it's all of the difficulty. But his design is most protective and most loving and truly the best. But the question we have to ask ourselves, have we actually embraced that as the truth of our lives? Not just doctrinally, but functionally, right? So what I love about Paul, this passage in Paul, is he actually uses this language of loss and gain. We just see loss and gain. Oh, living my best life. I forgot my slide. Okay. Loss and gain, loss and gain, loss and gain. This is really what Paul is offering us. He's showing us what is loss and what is gain. And the reality is it's the exact opposite of what the world would tell us. Is loss and gain, right? So Paul talks about, I mean, you see loss, gain. He uses language like attaining, obtained, worth. And then he has loss, gain, gain, loss, gain. Loss for Paul would equate to surrender. Like, I'm willing to offer all of this. I'm willing to lose all of this. And we talked about all of the things he had that were the world's values for the sake of gaining Christ. So he talks about some of the things he'd happily lose. All the world's gains. So I just want to think about all the world's gains in our world, what those would be. And he says, they're rubbish. They're rubbish. They're not even, they have no value or worth in light of who Christ is. He talks about everything, all things, his own righteousness, all of those things. Garbage, 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 he says. In light of the gain, which is knowing Christ. He talks about these gains as being surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, gaining him, being found in him. Is a beautiful thing. Righteousness through faith, knowing him, knowing his power. It says participating with him in life, becoming like him. These are all in this passage. So what he's saying is true joy and fulfillment, the thing we are all longing for, actually comes from being connected to Jesus Christ. And yet we go chasing after all of these things. And the reason we're white-knuckling is because we think that's, as Steph said, that's the best. And he's saying, I have more for you. You can lose all of those things, and they can be good things, because some of the things on Paul's list were good things. They can be good things, but in light of Christ, they have no value, right? So the thing is, we have to shift our paradigm. That's a bottom line, because we may say this, that we believe this, but the way that we live doesn't reflect that he is the greatest value. And so unless we can open our hands and recognize that what we receive is of utmost value, then we keep doing this, right? And he's saying, I am the greatest value you can receive in letting go. The psalm that we'll talk about later, or we won't talk about, but that's in your booklet for this week is Psalm 16. And it says, apart from him, we have nothing of value. So everything that we do have of value is from him and stems from him and comes from him. But apart from him, he is the value. He is the worth. But then it also says, I think it's verse 4, it says, those who run after gods with a lowercase g, and I want you to hear this, suffer more. So we've been talking about the terrifying nature of letting go, but it's actually saying, you hold on, you white knuckle, there's actually more suffering in that when you hold on to these lowercase g gods, right? Okay, so what's interesting, do you guys know that a monkey, if somebody wants to catch a monkey, it's as easy as putting something they value in a jar. And that they will stick their hand in the jar and they want it so badly that they will not let go, even though they can't get their hand out. And that's all that you have to do to catch a monkey. No, seriously. and then they can lose their life for all of those things, right? So this is, we say how ridiculous this is us, right? We've got our hands stuck in the jar holding on so tightly and losing life when it's like, let go to find life. So we don't want to be like the monkey who's got his hand on the banana thinking that's the best thing ever, but in the process he's losing true life, right? Let go of the banana. Okay, you guys, those of you who has mind went to the gutter, bad, bad, bad. Okay. All right. Gaining more of Christ. Philippians 3:8. I consider everything else garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Like, if we just sat with that for a second, everything else is garbage except gaining him. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast that they understand and know me. That is the good gift. That is the good life. That is living our best life right there. Surrender is letting go, right? But it teaches us, the act of surrender actually teaches us to pursue true joy, true fulfillment, to enjoy Jesus, as we talked about the first week, to find our deepest longings met in him. Because again, these other things are actually saying, I actually don't need you, Jesus, so often, right? I'm going to close my time teaching just with this quote from, hands that God can fill. Look at it. I have such a cute slide. Okay. Mathis, I think his name is David Mathis. He says, Jesus isn't seeking to squash true pleasures, but he calls us not to be so easily pleased by lesser things. He appeals to our desire. He made us for himself, heart included, and he seeks to win us from within and change us from the inside out. So will we embrace surrender in this life? Necessarily, happily, eagerly, because in surrendering ourselves, we live more fully. All right, with that, I'm going to have Jenny Allen teach us a little bit. I had another thought, and then I'm going to pass on it. Jenny Allen is a Bible teacher, author, founder of the IF Gatherings, and this is coming from a series called Chasing After the Heart of God. So with that, here's Jenny Allen. Hopefully the volume's in the right spot.
Every one of us, we want a happy life. We want to know that we're going to get married and that our kids are going to turn out okay. And we want to know that we're going to have enough money to pay the bills. And we also want enough money to take vacations. We want to believe that if we love Jesus, then our lives are going to work out great. The problem is, they don't always. David's life is so jacked up. One of David's sons ends up raping one of his daughters, and his family completely turns against each other. Eventually, his son even tries to kill him. And that son goes on to die in battle. And David, he's absolutely devastated with all the chaos and suffering in his life. And then you read all these psalms that came out of this suffering. And there is a lot of grief. There's a lot of mourning from David. But he always comes back to what he believes is true of God. David keeps loving him, and he keeps trusting God. And it's this very powerful thing when someone who loses everything on earth worships God. Like Job, who lost everything but his life. And he wrote, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Either way. But it's difficult, if we're honest, to fully entrust our lives to a God who isn't afraid to let us suffer. So instead of surrendering everything to God, we do our best to control our lives. And we think perhaps that if we can keep our lives in our hands, that we can help him turn out happy. But we love this life. I love this life. We love our kids and our friends, and we love our iPhones, and I particularly love Torchy's tacos and skiing at spring break. And I truly adore my husband. I love my life, and I don't want to lose any of it. It's not wrong that I love these blessings that God's given me. It's wrong that I hold on to them so tightly, and that if God ever takes away one of them, I panic and I freak out. It's wrong that I love all of that more than I love God. And that I hope more to go to the beach this summer than I want to go to heaven. And I would rather choose to go to Target than spend time with Jesus. That's what's messed up. That's why I don't surrender, because I act like God isn't enough for me. Is God enough for you? In Psalms 22, you see this man crying out to God and begging God to rescue him. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Oh my God, I cry day by day, but you don't answer. And by night, I find no rest. He is just hurting. And we've all been there where we just feel like God's forgotten us. But then, like every other moment that David wrestles, he comes back. And he says, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. See, David knew that his heart and that our hearts were going to go on forever. So everything didn't have to work out yet. See, we don't get to totally protect our lives from suffering. But the beautiful thing is that God does have a plan for it. Look at the stuff we build. My son loves cars, but they always fall apart. The stuff we build always turns into junk. It always breaks or gets lost. And the stuff God builds, it goes on and on. Every season, for as long as this land has been here, it dies and it comes back over and over and over again for generations. See, the stuff God makes, he makes it all new over and over again. And my stuff fails, my stuff breaks. So I come back to a God because I want to build the things that he builds. I want to build things with my life that go on forever. See, when we surrender to God, even if it costs us, we get to move from building the things in this life to building one that's going to last forever. And we know that this life is short. We know that. We just don't believe it. We know that everything here falls apart. See, surrendering to God is saying, I'm in. No matter what you do, you have me. I'm not going anywhere. So bring it. And saying that actually, it seems to bring more suffering for me, unfortunately. And it's so backwards from what I learned in Sunday school. But it is more fulfilling than anything else that I go after, anything else that I try to build.
So good, right? All right, ladies, you know what time it is. It's time to break into smaller groups and have a little discussione. I believe that that is, we've got questions on page 30. And I'm going to encourage you to break into groups of 2, 3, 4. And if you really want to be alone, that is totally fine, okay? So why don't we take a moment to break into those groups? You've got questions to discuss, and we'll see where God takes us, all right?
The clock. Thank you.
All right, ladies. I know you're scratching the surface, but we're going to bring it back together, bringing it back. Bringing it back together, bringing it back. All right, ladies, bringing it back. Have I mentioned it enough times that we're bringing it back?
Hi, can I help you move? You want to stand up and I'll move your chair?
Can you step forward? Yeah.
Yeah, that is something I'm working at surrendering.
No, I understand. When the body just doesn't do what you want it to do. And now it's not cooperating. Tell it to behave. I understand.
All right, ladies. I want to take some time just to have open discussion because I feel like that's one of the best ways to close this out. So with that, I want to ask you guys, what's sitting on your minds and hearts? What are you thinking? What are questions arising? Where are we at? What's stirring? Anyone? Thoughts? Anything?
Diane said something that, you know, it's like that every day if we're thanking Jesus and we're focusing on Jesus, whether we're with people who have the good life scenario or we're with people who believe in Jesus, we can still have hope and turn to him for guidance. Mm.
So wherever we are, we have hope because we can turn to him for guidance. Whatever context we're in, anything. Nancy. What is enough? Is God enough? And I honestly feel like I'm going to share personally. When Judd passed, I felt like people would say to me things like, well, look at what God's doing through his life. Like, there are people that are coming to know him and things like that. And for me, I was like, I would choose him. Like, that's the worst thing to say to me, right? Like, I would never, like, and it felt like nothing would ever be enough, right? And I had this realization that I have found Jesus more deeply, more present, more near through that loss. And I had this moment where it was hard to say, if I'm honest, it was hard to say, but like, that is enough. Nothing else that people would say that would somehow try to make it better would ever feel like enough. So the wrestling became, Jesus, are you enough, right? Because if you're not, then none of this makes sense. But if you are, and you're allowing me to find you in deeper and more abiding ways through this, then I say yes. But that's the paradigm shift, because we don't live as if that is enough, right? And that's the constant wrestling for me. That's the constant wrestling. Are you truly enough? Because nothing else will ever feel like enough, right? And so that's when we can then say yes to him. And you know what I didn't mention this? I love in the passage we were in Paul, he says, to know Christ, yes. To know that, and I was like, I love that yes. Like, to know him, yes. And that's the whole thing we've been talking about, is it's our yes to him, right? And I love that it's almost like Paul was telling himself, yes. Yes, I'm going to say yes to this. This is the game. What else is coming up? Diane.
Just talking that basically what you're saying with surrender is another thing is just constantly making the choice of what do you want to do with what you hear, what you experience, whatever it is.
I love that. What Diane said is that this is just a constant choice. Whatever it is, whatever the moment is, there's a constant choice to basically say yes to you, Jesus, above all else, that you're enough. And it's a constant choice. And that the surrender is, again, over and over and over again, which we've talked about. This isn't like, I surrendered to God in light of my life experience. No, it's like it's a daily thing of saying, you are enough, yes, and fill my hands with you. Fill my hands with you. Judy.
Making the transition from doctrinal.
I got the doctrinal. Right. Judy said making the transition from the doctrinal to the functional, and she's like, I got the doctrinal. We got that down. But that is the wrestling. Like, how do we move toward the actual functional surrender? Stacia.
One of the ways that I feel, there are situations of surrender that are not our choice and that we're forced into it. However, it's validating when I know that I can choose my response to that person.
I love that. Did you all hear that? So what Stacia was saying is, in the forced surrender, I have a choice to surrender. And there was more that you said, but like that is the whole thing, is moving in that posture toward actual surrender in the midst of even the forced surrender. Yeah, Lynn. He allows us to build stuff in our lives that go on forever, the things that really matter. And I was talking to Ann Cooper just a second ago, and she goes, if it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter. Period. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter. Fran. Blessed be the name.
And also giving gratitude, because these are sufferings that we're going to go through, but they're temporary, as it says in Philippians. How we're going to endure more, but gain so much.
Yeah.
I
love that. And I love she brought up the eternal perspective. We live so much in the here and now without an understanding of what really matters eternally. And so that's, again, it's like, these are momentary things. There are things that we are navigating for the sake of eternity that matter so much more. Stacia.
Facing forward.
So good.
Do you know I got chills. Can you see it? That was so good, Stacia. I get chills. What else? Anything else? Janet?
Well, back to the doctoral thing, it says that he made us for himself.
Hmm.
I think we'd all agree with that. Mm-hmm. But what does that really mean?
Hmm.
I mean, to really live fully, which I think we like the stuff that was on YouTube or whatever it was. But it's with him surrendering now.
I love that. The only way to live fully is to live in him.
Yeah.
And yet, again, we understand that doctrinally.
Yeah.
But then what does that look like? It's like, do we really, really believe that our greatest joy and our greatest fulfillment is found in life with him? Do we really believe that? And that's what we want. The answer to be, yes, we fully believe that. And that's why we're doing this thing together. All right, ladies, I am going to actually, we're going to do something as the end here. I'm going to encourage you to open your hands in a true posture of surrender. And I'm just going to give us a moment of quiet. And we're going to walk through some prayer, okay? I want you to right now, as you have your hands open, think about what is it you're actually offering to him? What are you surrendering? What are you letting go of in your grip? And just think about that for a moment. Father, I thank you that you know each one of us intimately. So you know what we've been holding on to. And you know the things that you're inviting us to. It's an invitation to open our hands and release them to you. Lord, we want to do that now. We want to offer them to you. We want our posture to be what happens in our hearts and minds and soul. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who wants to then fill our open hands. As we sit here with our hands open, you want to fill them with yourself. That we get more of you by opening our hands to you. Lord, as Paul describes, we want to gain you. The surpassing worth of knowing you, the righteousness that comes from you, the power of your death and resurrection. Father, we ask that you move in our lives to allow those to be true gain. And Lord, if our hearts need to be changed where we understand you to be better than everything else, do that work in us. Father, we recognize, as has already been said, this is a constant for us. It's a constant offering over. It's a constant giving of ourselves. And we need your help to do that. So we're asking you to come and help us. Father, we know in our minds that you are truly the greatest joy and fulfillment, that there is nothing greater than you. We know that cognitively. We know that. And yet we want to experience that. The joy and the fulfillment that comes from life with you, the dependence on you, the need for you, that true life is found there. And so, God, in our offerings, we ask, come and fill our hands. Come and fill our hearts. Come and fill our souls with yourself. We want more of you. We ask for more of you. Help us to surrender, God. In your name, amen. All right, my friends, with that, I want to remind you, you have a few things in your book that you can do on your own. And then let's close this out with the prayer that's on page 33, and we'll read this together. All right, let's do this. Lord Jesus,
I want more of you. I am blind, be my light. I am ignorant, be my wisdom. I am self-willed, be my mind. Open my ears to quickly hear your Spirit's voice and run after you with delight. Be my good shepherd and lead me into the green pastures of your word. Cause me to lie down beside the rivers of your comfort. Fill me with peace so the world cannot disquiet my soul. I want more of you. Your cross is my refuge. Your blood washes me clean. You save me and give me assurance of your presence. Your death and resurrection has brought me near. You softened my heart. Child, I want more of you. Oh, that I may love you as you love me, that I may live a life worthy of you, my Lord, that I may be a reflection of you. May I always see your beauty with clear eyes of faith and feel the power of your Spirit living in me. Kindle a fire within me. I want more of you.
All right, I ended, look at, 1 minute early. And I want you guys to know, I had a conversation with somebody last night who was new to our church community, and she said every day you say meet somebody new, and nobody once reached out to me, but I had to keep making the effort. You guys, we are not that community. We are the community that sees the person who has never been here and loves on them. So please, I ask you in these extra moments to find somebody you have never met and love on them, okay? All right, all right. Enjoy. Yay!